The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. And it begins with the countdown that we don't talk about on this program. Where we stand on the countdown at channel3000.com. The top 10, so far we have gone through number 3. So only 2 and 1 are left. Your top 10 in this blue ribbon panel's opinion. Number 10, Rasheed Walker / Jordan Morgan. Number 9, Zach Tom. Number 8, Rashawn Gary / Lucas Van Ness.
Sure, slash away. You're like you are the Freddy Krueger of countdown lists. Slash away, baby.
Number 7, Keyshawn Nixon. Number 6, Aaron Banks / Elton Jenkins. Number 5, Edgerrin Cooper.
Ooh.
Number 4,
Tucker, be a slash coming here.
Tucker Kraft.
Nope.
I decided that I could not legally have any slashes in the top 5. That's where I drew the slash line.
I appreciate that you put some
criteria
on the slash.
I do. There are certain bright lines. That's one of them. No.
Top 10 would have felt like a good place for that, maybe, but you're good.
Mm-hmm. Be that as it may, number 5, Edgerrin Cooper. Number 4, Tucker Kraft. Number 3, Xavier McKinney.
Ooh.
Now, that leaves 2 high-profile names on the list. Belonging to running back Josh Jacobs and quarterback Jordan Love. Now, you were part of the panel of experts that I enlisted. Had a few people from 1265 Lombardi Avenue help me so I wouldn't look like a complete idiot. They all agree the slash concept is sketchy.
Definitely.
I'm fine with that.
Definitely.
Again, and I embrace it. And I actually think it makes it even better because then people poke fun at me. It gets people talking. So I'm fine with it.
Okay.
However, there are some people who agree and some people who disagree with my position on number 2 and number 1. Now, I'm not going to reveal them, but some may say that the quarterback trumps all. Touches the ball on every play, has to make all these decisions, has to distribute the ball to all these targets that are all trying to get themselves paid, has to stay healthy. Very important. Now, I just want to reiterate, no matter who's number 2 and who's number 1, both of these guys are, in my opinion, the 2 most important players on this team. Would you agree with that assessment, Mark?
No.
Interesting.
I don't. Yeah. I don't agree. And I'm not being combative. I think you have the top 3 correct. But I think if you're looking at this thing team-wise, it's pretty easy to say Xavier McKinney completely transformed that defense last season. You'd say Jeff Hafley was a part of it too. No doubt about it.
Mm.
But he made this team looking for turnovers. They started becoming more ball hawkish. And that's because of the attitude and the results that X brought to the table. So while all of those players are important, your top 5, I think you hit right on the head. I would not change your top 5 as far as who they are. I would change the order of them. I would put Tucker Kraft 5th. I would put Coop 4th. I would put Josh Jacobs 3rd. I would put Xavier McKinney 2nd. And I would put Jordan Love 1st. Because for this team to reach the goals that a lot of us have set, which is over 9.5 wins, winning the division, and I'm not saying a world championship, I'm saying positioning themselves to win a world championship, Xavier McKinney has to be the guy. Josh Jacobs needs to be really good. But if Jordan Love is the guy and you have other players that are going to help Josh Jacobs out this year, I think that's how I would shake this thing up.
Mm. I don't have a problem with anything you said. I do want to ask you one question.
Okay.
The Packers reconfiguring their offensive line. I am curious, do you see that as reconfiguring it to improve the pass protection or reconfiguring it to make them more effective in a run game in which, and you know I love this statistic, Saquon Barkley ran for 2,005 yards, 1,328 of them came before contact. Josh Jacobs ran for 1,329 yards total, 1 yard more than Saquon Barkley had before he was touched by a defender. And 55% of Josh Jacobs' yards came after he'd been hit once, after first contact. Do you believe the offensive line reshuffling is designed because they needed to improve their pass protection or because they need to run the ball more effectively?
Well, I mean, I'm going to will do this and say both, but I think it was to help Jordan Love more than Josh Jacobs.
Why do you say
that? Josh Jacobs did what he did last year with an offensive line that obviously Green Bay felt like needed to be better. So that, in turn, should make Josh Jacobs' life easier. But by making Josh Jacobs' life easier and better, and Marshawn Lloyd, you're going to make Jordan Love's life. I think everything that the Green Bay Packers did this offseason, especially on the offensive side of the football, because that is where they poured most of their resources into, is to take all doubt away as Jordan Love is, you know, while he signed his contract last offseason, he's really going to start getting paid and the cap hits start coming down the pipe here after this year. This is to make sure Jordan Love, you have everything at your disposal. You want more physicality up front and be able to pick up short yardage and to be able to handle, you know, internal pressures a little bit better, keep guys out of Jordan's face. Well, here you go. And that's where I think you can make the argument on both sides of it. I'm not in the mood to argue just to argue. But everything this offseason, Matthew Golden, Savion Williams, it was all to say, hey, baby, I don't know what road we're going to go down to win this week, but Jordan, I'm going to tell you, you have avenue after avenue. We're not going down a one-way street here. This is the only way to win. We got options, and you need to be driving that car so that we're getting to our destination. And that's what the Packers did in their minds this offseason.
Do you believe that, like last year, the Green Bay Packers will run the ball more often than they throw it?
Oof. What was the ratio last year?
Let me fact check that, but I believe it was 52%+ that they ran.
Running. They will pass the ball more than they run. I still think you're going to be hovering in that 50%. This, again, with the caveat that Jordan Love is healthy. Because some of those numbers are skewed through the Malik Willis lens. Let's just remember that.
They had one. Yeah, there was the one game where he ran it 32 times. They were 52.3% run. It was the highest percentage since for a Packers team since 2003 when you were blocking for Amon Green. And it was the third highest in the league behind Philadelphia and Baltimore. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry.
Kind of interesting that you have three playoff teams right there, and I'm guessing if you keep going down that list, you're going to see more play. But Bet Buffalo is in that equation as well. I don't think it's going to skew dramatically one way or the other, but I would think if Green Bay and Matt LaFleur, who, and you know Matt LaFleur likes winging it, you know Jordan Love likes winging it, you know who else likes it? The litany of wide receivers that are all fighting for their positioning and keeping chemistry. Josh Jacobs is going to be fine if he gets 30 or 40 less carries this year and still is able to get 1,200 yards and whatever it is. I would venture to say it's going to be closer to 55-45 airing it out compared to running it from what we saw last year.
All right. I want you to answer something, but I want you to tell us about AmFam, and we'll do it in the next segment. Do you think that anyone can make a convincing argument to put Josh Jacobs first and Jordan Love second? Because that would be listing fearlessly, but you better ensure carefully that you've got all the information to back yourself up.
I will give you that opportunity, and I'll tell you why I don't think you can. After I tell you about the Kids Corner Focus, make game day a dream for the whole family at parking lot patio during Kids Day. Before first pitch, head to the clock tower entrance outside American Family Field, and the fun is just going to get started. From free face painting, I know our kids, when they were kids, real young kids, loved that. Temporary tattoos, I could maybe go for one of those. To photo ops, yard games, love yard games, free giveaways, and live music from local DJs. It is the perfect pregame stop for families. Come early, have fun, make it a day to remember. All thanks to American Family Insurance.
You're not getting a temporary tattoo. You're not fooling anybody.
I hear they're the Superman logo. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs. Tausch thinks that Xavier McKinney should have been two, and Jordan Love should have been one, and Josh Jacobs should be three. We've not revealed two and one yet.
Let me ask you this. Who would you say are the leaders of their respective groups? Like, who's the leader of the offense? Who's the leader of the defense? I guess is the easy.
Yeah, I think Josh Jacobs is the leader of the offense.
Ahead of Jordan.
I do. It is why Matt LaFleur came out publicly when asked what Jordan needs to improve upon, and he said his leadership and being more of a vocal leader.
Okay. I don't like that.
So,
you're entitled to disagree.
No, I think you asked before the break, like, how you could justify it, you know, putting. There's nobody that's going to say running back is more important than quarterback. I don't even think in Philadelphia, where Saquon, obviously, along with Jalen Hurts, had a heck of a little deal going, nobody would say that quarterback isn't more important than running back because you're going to touch the ball, you throw
totally it. Totally agree.
But if you're going to make that argument, you just made it right there.
How many games do you think? Let's say Jordan Love decides Aaron Rodgers has influenced him. He decides to go on an ayahuasca journey, even though he reported to camp today because the quarterbacks, injured guys, and rookies are reporting today. And he decides, you know what? I'm done playing football. Ronica and I are going to go live in remote Oregon. And
if they're going to do that, I would really recommend going down on the banks. I can't remember the city we spent a lot of time. You can go crabbing, and it's on the coast. You're a big Oregon guy. What's that coastline? It's not Bandon Dunes, but it's over in that area.
Yeah, no, they do. They call it the Oregon Coast. That is what they call it there, and it is a beautiful area.
There's a big city there that it's awesome.
Where's Corvallis? Great.
About 45 minutes from Eugene.
I don't know Oregon.
They're pretty
at all.
Close together.
I'm realizing I don't know where places are in Oregon.
Well, I'll say I didn't realize Oregon had so much coastline and it's so beautiful. Like hear about California and everything. Oregon's coastline's no joke now.
They got the beautiful Willamette River to drive along.
So I could understand I could understand the love saying, hey, this would be pretty cool. Now, so, not for another 15 years.
Yeah, so Jordan and Ronica live happily ever after in the Oregon coast. And Malik Willis is your starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers this year. He was a beloved figure last season when they won two games when Jordan was out after the injury at the end of the opener in Brazil. And then he got the job done in Jacksonville when that game could have gone sideways as well. If he were to play all 17 games, if he's your starter this season, how many games do the Packers win?
Ooh, really good question. I would probably say 7.
I was going to say 8. I don't think they're a playoff team. But I do think that gives them a pretty darn good backup quarterback situation.
He's a great he was. Tell me how you could have been a better backup quarterback than what he did last year.
Yeah, I don't think, especially given what he was up against. I don't know. You know, I like Emmanuel
Manzanita.
Wilson.
Manzanita. I finally found it. Manzanita is the place we spent time. Rockaway Beach is also great. Tillamook, real good dairy.
Tillamook,
they got a
yeah.
huge, big dairy out there we stopped
good ice
at. But
cream.
Manzanita is the one I was really, yes, that's why I could mention it. So there you go.
Again, I'm not saying, and I'm not saying that Josh Jacobs is going to be more important on this list than Jordan Love. You'll have to stay tuned. You'll find out tomorrow because one of them will be listed at number 2.
Okay, Jason, let's do the same little quiz. How many games are the Packers winning if Marshawn Lloyd is the tailback and Josh Jacobs decides he's going to go? I don't know where he and, you know, if he's married, I don't know where he would go, but let's say he decides,
sure,
I'm going to take a little break.
Same amount.
I'm with Jesse because, again, the discussion we've had, and look, maybe Jordan Love makes the big leap that we thought he would make last year after the way he finished 23. And he is a guy that you don't win with, you win because of. Right? Could be. That could happen this year. We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. If he becomes that guy, then they win more than 8. But again, based on the evidence that I have, I don't like their chances. And I, frankly, until I'm proven otherwise, Marshawn Lloyd is a very nice kid. He really is. He got dealt as bad of a rookie
like
hand.
Him a lot, right?
No, like I don't know if I don't know him well enough to say I like him a lot.
Oh, okay. But for sure you're going to like him a lot.
Evan Williams I like a lot because I've gotten to know him better. But
sure.
I don't know if I can trust Marshawn Lloyd to stay healthy for 17 games if Josh Jacobs abruptly retires. So now I'm counting on Chris Brooks. I'm counting on Emmanuel Wilson, who, I don't know, maybe he's capable of being a 1,300-yard rusher. I don't necessarily think so. I think he's better than he gets credit for. But I think Josh Jacobs is a really important piece, not only to the offense as a whole, but to helping make Jordan Love better. And one of the reasons we spent so much time talking about the play-action game, both in this space on our show and with LaFleur in his end of season press conference is because they weren't as good at it. They just weren't. They made changes to how they ran the football and the play action game didn't work. If they have spent their offseason figuring out a way to marry that up better, then you got something here. And again, I don't have a problem with Matt LaFleur thinking he might have a Super Bowl team on his hands. I certainly have enough evidence to think that. Right.
Is it not a little concerning that you and Jesse both feel like it's kind of interchangeable? If either guy's out, we're going to win the same amount of games? Isn't that kind of troubling?
I think it, for me, I don't know if it's troubling. I have a very high opinion of Josh Jacobs. I think the running back has become important again. I saw what Saquon Barkley did. Do we think the Eagles win the Super Bowl without Saquon Barkley?
Nope.
No. I just think that there has been a during the time of this show's existence, there has been debate about the importance of the running back position. We saw it devalued. There has been something of a resurgence. Not saying that it's become as important as it was when Walter Payton and Marcus Allen and John Riggins were the stars of the league. But it's more important than it was just a few years ago. Agree or disagree?
Sure, I agree with that. I agree.
For the record, I don't think they win the same amount of games or roughly the same amount if Jordan Love's out. I think...
You just said
no,
it.
No, I said Josh Jacobs. I think they win the same amount. I think running back is...
Oh, you're saying they win the same amount of games that they would if he wasn't hurt?
If Marshawn Lloyd was playing and Josh Jacobs was out, I think I don't think it impacts win-loss total for the Packers for the season.
What you said earlier.
Sorry for misrepresenting that. So
I'm the only one. I'm once again alone on an island.
Yes.
All right, that's better.
I think Malik Willis...
You're out in Manzanita, which is a great little coastal town.
I don't know. Usually on this show, if someone agrees with Jesse, we're concerned about the person who Jesse's agreeing with, and that it has now become you.
Over a 17-game season, I think Malik Willis gets exposed. The defenses figure him out. He starts to look more like the guy he was a couple of years ago.
Packers run the ball a lot.
Come up well short of making the playoffs. I think if Josh Jacobs is out, the Packers are still a playoff team, and it doesn't necessarily impact the overall trajectory of their season. So I can't make the argument that Josh Jacobs is more important than Jordan Love because of that alone.
Just to be clear, if Josh Jacobs were to miss the season, you both agree that the Packers would still make the playoffs?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I hope we don't have to find out. Just like I hope you don't have to find out what it's like to have a bad bank. I actually went through that experience before I switched to Associated Bank, and now Paula and I and the girls could not be happier, in large part because they've got the best customer service in the industry, and they've got the awards to prove it. Early pay. I get access to my money up to 2 days early with my direct deposit. I've got credit monitoring to make sure my credit's in the right place if I want to make a big purchase, like, say, new couches from Steinhoffels, and fraud protection, which they were on top of that when we were in that situation as well. And, of course, they've got Brewers checking, Badgers checking, and Packers checking if you're a sports fan and want to show your true colors. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. AssociatedBank.com. Jesse, you got some good stuff for Won Ellie?
I do, but Ian and East Troy, Jesse calls for Murphy to get fired, and now Jason wants Love to retire.
I definitely don't want Jordan Love to retire.
Stinks when someone tells you said something you didn't say, huh?
Maybe. Also, Ben Sims might be the most important player on the list. I've just been saving that. Chipotle Ben. Woe Nelly is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Late as usual means we have time for some, but not all, of Woe Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
Woe Nelly
on Wildy and Tausch.
Big series for the Brewers this weekend in Los Angeles out of the All-Star break, taking on the Dodgers. 9:10 first pitch tonight. Over at ESPN.com, the MLB writers have accumulated predictions and tiers of teams heading into the second half of the season.
No wonder you like it.
Oh, tiers.
I love my tiers, you know that. Tier 1, the Big Six.
Tyler
is not on here, but the Tigers are Detroit Tigers, Dodgers, Cubs, Astros, Phillies, Mets. Listed by ESPN's MLB writers as the Big Six. Tier 2, established contenders. The Yankees, the Blue Jays, and the Milwaukee Brewers.
Wow.
Right there in Tier 2. Established contender. And here's what, this is one of my favorite writer names that ESPN has. Bradford Doolittle. This is what old Bradford Doolittle says about the Brewers.
kind of feel like we should call you Jesse Doolittle.
This might be the best version of the Brewers that we've seen during this current long run of success. The offense is athletic and better balanced than the homer and strikeout heavy attacks of recent vintage. The team defense is top five in baseball. The rotation is dynamic and deep. If anyone goes down, the Brewers have Logan Henderson and Chad Patrick at AAA. Finding quality relievers is never a problem for Milwaukee. This team is for real, and the NL Central race is going to be a doozy.
Doolittle doozy.
Doolittle doozy. You pumped for the second half of the Brewers? See, this is going to be a fun race here.
It is. I've said this all season. Well, not all season. The beginning of the year, obviously, was a little bit sluggish. There were some injuries. But really, June and July, this has been a really fun team to watch. I've paid more attention to summer games this year in Major League Baseball than I ever have, really since I was a kid. So my interest level's high. It. I understand why they're tier two, and I don't have a problem with it. But what I will say, their strengths are really good strengths for postseason baseball. Mm-hmm. The question I think all of us have, and Jeff Passan brought it up with us a couple weeks ago, they're going to have enough bats. They got enough power because runs get harder to score in the playoffs. Do we have enough boppers? We got enough bop. That's always the question because our starting pitching and the bullpen, I feel fairly confident. Now, there's bigger names out there, but if you're in a five-game set and you can roll out the Miz, Peralta, and woo-woo, that's pretty dang good. So let's get it going. I'm fired up that the second half is going to get going, and the Brewers are right. Probably in a much better spot than anyone would have imagined had we had this conversation in April.
I love it when you call me Big Boppa. Do you nice. Like your chances of getting another bopper? Because no. The other thing Jeff Passan said was that there's really no bats for them to go get that fit where they would need to put said bat.
Well, there's always some surprises, and there's always teams that dip and then become sellers that maybe you didn't think would.
Sure.
So I am not going to sit here up on this soapbox and try to tell you, oh, yeah, well, I think Arizona's got a big bat. I don't know. I have not studied it to that degree. But I will say, if you want something and you feel like it's the missing piece, go do it, because this is going to be, for this offseason is going to be big time for the Brewers. There's going to be a lot of moving parts, and will we as Brewers be in this good of a position next year at this time to that we could even have this conversation? This is why Matt Arnold is one of my faces of the state of Wisconsin sports, because he has to figure out that balance of when do we push our chips in and when do we make sure we have enough that we can continue to play the World Series of baseball and have enough chips to be eligible to do it. That's the battle that Matt Arnold has to continue to deal with.
I gotta be honest with you. I just called up images of Matt Arnold. I still don't believe that if he walked into your house right now, he would know who he was.
If Matt Arnold was in the ESPN Milwaukee studio, would you know him versus any of our teammates who work there?
He's an MC. He handles cousins.
He's got a muffler shop. He's doing some white wall tires down there. Huh? Let me get back to you.
Whoa, Nelly!
Now, am I crazy, but does Matt Arnold have a little bit of is he still a prince then since he left the country? The dude that's complaining about America
Harry?
All the time? Yeah, he's got a little Prince Harry in him, doesn't he?
You think Matt Arnold looks like Prince Harry?
No, I didn't say. I said if for everybody that you're trying to reference, more people know Harry than they know Matt Arnold. I would say, like face-wise.
Okay.
Is that a fair assessment, or is that crazy?
As I look at Matt Arnold, he's got his hair is kind of the same shade. He's clean-shaven. Prince Harry mostly bearded.
Well, sometimes. Depends. Prince Harry.
Yeah, again, I appreciate your efforts. I still think if we bring in five people that look similar, unless
Can
Matt
you
Arnold
pick him out of a lineup?
Is wearing a Brewers polo, I don't think you're getting them.
I disagree, but that's the beauty of it.
I'm glad we've waited.
Why do we? Can someone tell me why we listen to Prince Harry about anything?
How's this going for you?
Can someone explain to me why he's speaking at like the UN?
Did you just see something about is he Prince doing? Harry? Is this why you're on the Prince Harry train? Was he on the news or something?
No.
This morning?
I think that Jason hit it. The hair and just kind of the overall, like, it's not like exact facial structure, obviously. But I also, I saw Prince Harry lecturing us, and I'm like, what do we give two rips what this guy has to say?
Yeah, I don't.
That was my other thought.
I don't. And I don't think most people do.
He's speaking in front of like big conventions on policy, and I'm like, what is he doing?
He's a diplomatic
figure.
Who cares?
He's a diplomatic figure.
He ain't a diplomatic figure. He gave it up. He didn't want it anymore.
Gave it all up for Meghan Markle.
No, he's not.
But like, do you care
Suits.
What
it is?
And then they were canoodling at
Good
a
show.
Coldplay concert. Oh, wait, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, Nelly!
Do I even want to ask about Stephen Colbert?
Yes, clearly.
Tausch, big news in the entertainment industry last night.
I saw that.
Stephen Colbert announced that The Late Show on CBS would come to a conclusion in May of 2026. I believe you have pronounced on this show before the death of late night TV. Am I mistaken in that assertion?
No, it's
Jimmy
dead.
Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy
no,
Kimmel.
No, it's completely dead. No, it's dead, and I saw this last night. I have never watched Colbert since he left Comedy Central. Comedy Central, he was funny, and he actually, like, I thought was entertaining. So I can't sit here. The days of Letterman, Leno, and Johnny C, those days have been gone for a while,
Johnny
man. We don't
C.
Johnny Cash.
Nobody watches that stuff anymore. Like, it's clipped. So it's dead. It's been dead, and you know, Steven, I'm sure, will go and, you know, do something else. I feel like he's more political now than he is comedic, and that's fine. Then go get a job, like, on a news network and do your stuff there. That would be my recommendation. I am not going to miss Stephen Colbert a bit. I will say, when he first started, and I don't remember the name of the show on Comedy Central, but he was basically being, like, a caricature of some Fox News people. That was really funny. Now, this, I think, has been... Blech. That's just my own opinion.
Johnny Cueto's late night show. Missed that one.
What is it?
Nothing. Never mind.
Who's Johnny Cueto's?
Johnny Cueto was a major league pitcher for the better part of a decade. He was a number one starter for like the Cincinnati Reds.
When did he have a late night
Giants.
Show?
He didn't. You said Johnny C. when you were referencing Carson.
Yeah. Don't know Johnny Carson?
No,
no one called him Johnny C.
Doc?
Other than you.
Doc?
Yeah, Doc Severinsen.
The
yeah,
boys?
They didn't call him Dr.
What a
S.
Crew.
The ratings for the second quarter of 2025 for late night television per Nielsen, Stephen Colbert was the top rated late night host at 2.4 million viewers per night, followed by Jimmy Kimmel at 1.77 and Jimmy Fallon at 1.18.
Yeah, they're all going to be, they're all gone. I mean, those are pretty, in the grand scheme of things, those are pretty bad numbers for that group. The genre is dead. Just call it what it is.
They're no Davey
L's. It's a dead genre. Who?
AVL.
Yeah, I think it's important to say that I don't think that this was a ratings-based decision, and we'll leave.
Oh,
it
I
at
think
that.
You're. I think it's a money-based decision, like everything else. That's what I think.
Whoa, Nelly!
Oh, look, we're out of time.
That's unfortunate. We wrap up the week and wrap up the show with Feel Good Friday, painted by Holman Lindsay Paints. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
Born and raised.
past. Under the rain and time to wrap up the show and wrap up the week with Feel Good Friday, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints. And we turn it over to Jesse, largely because he was the only one among us that watched the baseball All-Star game.
And I watched it at 5 in the morning on the replay because I fell asleep in the third inning. But this was a really cool moment. Freddy Peralta did not pitch in the All-Star game, but he was one of the representatives for the Milwaukee Brewers. And they do at the All-Star game each year the Stand Up to Cancer moment where everybody has a name card where they get to write down the name of a loved one, someone they know, a friend, a family member who was impacted by cancer. And Freddy Peralta, representing the National League, standing on the baseline with some of his teammates here. Bob Uecker, the name that he wrote on his card, standing up for in a great moment for baseball and one of the more sentimental moments of the All-Star game each and every season. So this was really cool to see Freddie have this moment to represent Bob Uecker on the national stage. Pretty cool to see this at the All-Star game.
Indeed. Good on Freddie. That's it for us today. We will be back on Monday, and training camp kicks off on Wednesday. We will be there. Thanks for coming along for the ride with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.